many of you remember it or not, I'm sure some of you do, but we had made a statement concerning Brother John Jameson, a Texan from out of Houston, Texas. We had spoke of Brother John Jameson and what he had to do with in the plan and mind of God according to Revelation. And the thing that I spoke of him was that he had to do with God's new thing. Is that right? Does anybody remember me saying that? And that it had to do with New Mexico. Anybody remember me saying that? And you know how that John just recently just looked like out of nowhere all of a sudden wound up over in New Mexico and then turned and come back here. And we spoke of this having to do with the breaking of the new, whereas a voice spoke to me and said, that which is old is pertaining to the gospel is ready to pass away, and this is God's new business. That's what the voice said to me. And we spoke of it in Revelation and what it had to do with. Now, I don't believe in moving the old milestones. The Bible said move not the old landmarks of the fathers. We're not to move those things, but we are to stay in harmony with those things. But I do believe that God does a new thing. The Bible tells us that I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. And the Bible tells us that His mercies are new every day. Amen. Somebody would say Solomon said that there is nothing new under the sun. I know that's true. But God can do a new thing whether it's under the sun or not. He don't have to have it under the sun. God can do it in heaven. He can do it anywhere He wants to. He can do it in my heart. God can do it anywhere. And a lot of people misunderstand the Scriptures, and as Paul said, they rash them to their own destruction. It is a true fact that when Jesus died at Calvary, it was a new thing. It had never been done before. Isn't that right? When the Virgin Mary conceived and compassed a man about, as the Bible said a woman would do, that was a new thing. It had never been done before. When I was born into the kingdom of God, it was a new thing. I'd never done it before. Is that right? Always something new. God is brand new. So what Solomon was speaking of when he made the statement, there's nothing new under the sun, is that all of God's works are known unto him from the beginning. And Jesus being the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, it was all settled in the mind of God before the world ever was. So then there's nothing new to God, but there's everything that's brand new to us. Is that right? When Solomon was speaking of God, all of his works are known unto him, there's nothing new to him. But now to us, everything is brand new and exciting every time we come together. Get a new experience with God. And I'm thankful tonight to be able to have a part in God's new thing that he's doing. I'm just so grateful to be privileged to be here tonight. And it is hard in one or two services to express to you what is in my heart. And I'm sure that the other ministers here would like to express to you what is in their heart. And truthfully, I can say tonight, as Paul, that God has shared with me abundance of revelation. And I am so filled with the revelation of God that it would take many books to be able to bring it out. We're trying to write one called Spiritual Conquest. Somebody had a vision that we wrote a book that brought the rapture. And sure enough, we was at that time writing a book called Spiritual Conquest or The Rent Veil. And they've been working on it for a long time, a number of years. And we hope to be able to bring the book out and it might be of benefit to you. Now, I don't see the rapture perhaps as you see it. And I can truthfully say tonight that you might disagree with me in the way that I see things and I might disagree with you. But there's one thing that we agree on, and that's the love of God. Hallelujah. We've got to love one another. Jesus said, love your enemies, so if you consider me your enemy tonight, love me. That's the thing to do. If I consider you my enemy tonight, I'll love you. To love one another. Jesus even called Judas friend, didn't he? You know, we get to the place we have what we call more holy than thou. And that was the one thing that God didn't like, was getting to the place to where we couldn't eat with the sinners and the publicans. Now, I don't believe in being partakers of their evil deeds, and I believe that evil communication corrupt good manners. I believe we're to come out from among them and be a separate people, to touch not, taste not that by which the soul is to perish with the using, after the doctrine and commandments of men. But I do believe that we're to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, and that if we're going to win the people, it is the sick that need a physician and not the well. I believe that. I know there's a lot of people that will never learn anything or never be in the rapture because you can't tell them anything. They're convicted that they're already, they already know what they want to know, And they're convicted that what they know is the right way, and they're convicted that because their granddaddy believed it or their grandmother believed it, they'll sing that old song, if it was good enough for grandmother, it's good enough for me. Well, I'm not too sure whether it is or not. Now, it might have been good enough for grandmother according to what she knew, but the Bible said to whom much is given, much is required. So I'm persuaded to believe I've got to have something a little different from grandmother. Now, I'm sure that she done all right with what she had. Like the fellow that drove the old two-horse wagon down the streets of Athens years ago, I'm sure that he'd done all right. But I've got a feeling he would have a problem, Brother Mike, if he was out there tonight on some of these super highways with the two-horse wagon. So I feel like that there is just a little bit of difference in the way that God looks at things, and that we are to move on in an advancement. And if we get stumped in a place, we draw off ourselves, and we become what the Bible refers to as a draw. And a draw cannot enter into the congregation of God. He refused in the Old Testament, he refused to let anything that was drafted enter into the congregation. It couldn't be part of it. And today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you get drafted in your outlook, that is, if you just get your opinion of it and you settle down on your doctrinal ideas of it, then you get drafted in God and you're cut off from the kingdom of God. You can't come in. Because we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith, speak the same thing, walk hand in hand, and not break ranks and not pierce each other through. So then, this is the great ordination of God, that in that day there will be one shepherd and there will be one fold. And I want to be part of that fold, don't you? I'd like to be part of that fold. So then, I would like for you to open your hearts. The Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened our understanding by the way? And when we start talking about God, He will open our understanding and our hearts will burn within us. But to be able to enter into the dimension where God is, then we've got to be spiritual. Is that right? Now, the first thing I'd like to say to you before we read here is that I believe that the Word of God is sufficient within itself. I don't believe it needs anything else. I don't believe it needs the gifts. I don't believe it needs an orator. I don't believe it needs a preacher. I don't believe it needs anything. I believe that it is sufficient within itself. Now, all the other things might be helps and governments in the church to go along with God's ordination, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it didn't have to have anything to help it. We understand that by the Word that all of the heavens was created, that the sun hangs up there and scientists can't figure it out. It just stays up there by the Word. Nobody has to help it. And you remember when the Ark of the Covenant came in, some of them wanted to help it, wanted to steady it a little bit, you know. And it upset God, and He just slew a whole flock of them to let them know that He didn't need anybody to try to steady what He was doing, but He was able to take care of His own. Even David got upset, you know. He's afraid to bring the Ark of the Covenant in for a while because of what happened to it. So tonight, God doesn't need any assistance in anything, but there is one thing that God will do. If we will submit ourselves unto the divine order of God and the enlightenment of God and the Spirit of God, God will work through us to His own glory and His own praise. Is that right? So then, not to use God, but that God might use us. And I'm afraid that the trouble with the world today, the church world in general, is that we've got all kind of ritualistics and formalities and plans and everything. And as it was written, Jesus quoted it, as it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. In other words, the Spirit of God doesn't have any place because through formalistic practices and ritualistics, we have all together by an ironclad hand and ecclesiastical endeavors, we have locked God outside. And as it was in the days of Solomon, He's standing outside knocking, trying to get back into the heart. I believe that. I believe that God is wanting to get in. But I believe that this Word is Spirit and it is life. And I believe that if we'll mix faith with it tonight, it'll do what God wants it to do and what we need. Now, the Word of God is God, the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation unaltered. And the Bible said that the Jews never received anything from it because they did not mix faith with it. And if I come here tonight and I try to minister to you, or if you try to listen and you can't mix faith with what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, then you're not going to get anything out of it. It takes faith to unlock the mysteries of God. Now, I believe in my heart that we have to have the mysteries of God. Now, I've heard him sing that little song, I don't know the mysteries of God. Well, I believe this, if you don't know, it's because you haven't tried to learn. You should know. A lot of times we use that for an excuse. I believe that the church must know the mysteries of God. I believe that the rapture is a revelation. And I do not believe, though you might disagree with me, and it's all right if you do, that's your privilege to do that. You're sovereign. You're going to your place. I'll go to my place. Whatever God has ordained for us, that's the way we'll go. But there's one thing about it. I believe that the rapture is a revelation. I believe that it is a divine translation, and that translation is by faith. I believe that Enoch was translated as a type of the church that he should not see death by faith. And I believe that the mystery that Paul saw was the discovery of what Enoch had enjoyed, and that is that he had found the way to bypass death by means of the translation of faith. And I say this tonight humbly and sincerely, not that I am anything, but I have found it. I've discovered it. It took me a lifetime to do it, but I found the way to bypass death, and I found the way, I found the knowledge of God, Solomon said, to where we can escape death. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if Paul the Apostle had the message as to escape death, then why did he die? Because he said it was out of season for his day. But he said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, he could not have shown us a mystery if he had not had one, could he? He said, I show you a mystery, and the mystery is that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, according to Thessalonians. Is that right? So then, it is a true fact there was a mystery that was to be revealed. And I believe that we have at last come to the end of the church ages and the time of the divine translation to where the group that is going to escape death will be indoctrinated with the Word of God of the message of the hour to where they will not have to die. I believe that. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I do believe it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Enoch could do it, then we can do it. I believe it. Now, I've heard people say, and I know that one of the greatest Bible scholars of our time that's here in Atlanta, Georgia, they call him the Walking Bible. He says that Enoch has to come back and die. He said that Enoch and Elijah will come back in the tribulation, that Enoch has to come back and die because every man has to taste death. But to me, and I'm not mocking him because he's far greater perhaps than I'll ever be, but to me, he is mistaken. Enoch does not have to come back and die. If Enoch has to come back and die, then the Scriptures have been broken because the Bible teaches the Scriptures cannot be broken. And it tells us that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, if God translated him that he should not see death and then brings him back and makes him die, then God's kingdom is divided and I'm confused and I don't understand what he's talking about. Now, so then Enoch does not have to die. As a matter of fact, Enoch being without the law and coming before the law, there was no penalty of death because transgression of the law is sin. And when a man transgresses the law, he is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. And the law had never came when Enoch was in the world. Therefore, he could not be judged by the law. He could not die. Now, but I believe that Moses and Elijah will come back in the tribulation period, and they will taste of death and lay in the streets because they were under the law. And I believe that they will taste the penalty of death inasmuch as they were under the law. I believe that they will come back. Now, you can look at it like you want to. I'm not here to argue with you or fuss with you, but just to express to you what the Lord has spoke to me and how I understand things. If you understand it that way, well, that's good. You can say amen or praise the Lord. If you don't, you can say, Lord, have mercy on that ignorant fellow so he can learn something. Whatever, just pray for him. That's the only thing. I want to read just a little bit, if you've got your Bibles, over in the book of St. John. Now, you don't have to worry about doctrinal points. One thing I wouldn't do anyway is come into our brother's church and create a confusion because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And all the ways of God and all the paths of God are peace. So I wouldn't do that anyway. But we don't have to worry about doctrinal differences. If you're here, as far as doctrinal differences, I believe that you've got to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, receive the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and grow in the grace and knowledge of truth to the fullness of the stature. I believe that. So I believe you've got to live holy and walk holy because I'll say this much before I read. I believe that there is something outside of what we refer to as a dispensational grace. I believe that there is a dispensational grace that allows for every wicked person on earth, whether it be a prostitute or a drunkard or murderer. I believe that He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh in the time of that dispensational grace. And I believe that great men are commercializing off of that and traveling across the nation. And I believe that they're preaching that all you've got to do is believe. And they're offering to them a dispensational grace in that they can at this time be healed, they can be blessed, they can have prosperity or anything as long as the blood is on the mercy seat. So I believe that this dispensational grace allows for every person, even a drunkard. I believe you can have miracles. But I don't believe that will take you to heaven. If you say just believing will do it, I don't believe that, because the Bible said if you believe, the devil believes too. So I don't believe that. Now, I believe, as the writer said, that your faith without works is dead and the works is in Jesus Christ. So I believe that there is what we refer to as grace unto salvation, saying that this grace has appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. That's the kind of grace that I believe that we are to preach. Otherwise, I believe that during the dispensational grace, all of us will look just alike. All of us will prosper. The wicked will prosper just like the righteous will prosper. And you can't tell the difference. It'll be so close it would deceive the elect. You can't tell the difference. But after a while, when the dispensational grace is over, there'll be no more prosperity except to the righteous. Because God is angry with the wicked every day. They're abomination in His sight. The Bible said their offerings are abomination in His sight. He said that everything that they do, including their prayers, are abomination in His sight. And He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. And I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So that's my conviction in it. And I say again, if you're different with me, well, God bless you. And you just pray for us, because that's the way He brought it to me. Reading from over in the book of St. John, and I take a few minutes tonight. I'm a kind of minister that I try to preach as long as I feel the hunger and thirsting and interest coming from the audience. And when I can't feel that, well, I close out. Now, I don't close out because the anointing has ended. A lot of people, you know, they get themselves in a complex, and they feel like, well, 15 or 20 minutes and the anointing is over. I don't believe that. Because I believe that we are God's anointed. I don't believe we have to get anointed. I believe that we are God's anointed, and I believe that we're anointed night and day, 24 hours around the clock, that we're God's anointed. I've said this many times. I believe that if I'm up here talking to the chief of police up here in town, I'm God's anointed. If I'm talking to the man over here at the service station where I pay my bill, I'm God's anointed. If I wake up in the night and I speak to my wife or children, I'm God's anointed. If I'm behind this pulpit, I'm God's anointed. And all I have to do, as the Bible said, is to stir up the mind of Christ, which David referred to as the pure mind in my heart, just by communing with you, if you get hungry. And it'll not be me that speak, but it'll be God Himself coming down in human form and Elohim Himself speaking to you through human lips. For the Bible speaks of the minister saying, it shall not be him that speak, but it shall be God speaking from within him. So then I believe that if you believe, that that's exactly what happens. So I don't believe that we have to quit in 15 or 20 minutes because the anointing lives. I don't believe that. We may have to quit in 15 or 20 minutes because the majority of the people override the others, in that when one member suffers, they all suffer, and the majority of unbelief or unconcern overrides the rest, and the minister will just sign off for that period of time because it grieves God, and he'll just sign off. He knows when to sign off if he's a real man of God. So that's what I understand, but I have found, as a matter of fact, that if I start into the Bible, that I can go all night long without stopping. I've done it more than one time, and the anointing was present when the sun come up. And the people that were listening still wanted to listen when my body was completely given out. Paul went all night long because he also knew that. So it isn't the minister, folks. It's the ones that are listening. It's whether or not they are willing to feed. Are you willing to listen just a little bit if we try to talk with you? All right. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of St. John with me in the 6th chapter. If I get to hollering at you, just don't feel bad at me. Bible said lift up your voice like a trumpet. And I'm sure that Brother Hammonds does. I'm sure that sometimes he probably really rings out here at you. But usually a teaching spirit or a revelation spirit comes if we get into the mind of the Lord right. The people are hungry. I believe that I have to speak to you out of one or two things. Paul said, lest I come to you either with a doctrine or by revelation, what can I profit you? So I can speak to you tonight by the doctrine, which is the word, the letter. I can do that. Or I can speak to you by the Spirit, which is the revelation of the letter. And whatever you are calling for, that's what God usually gives me. Whatever it is for you. I can say this tonight in the Lord, that we're not short tonight on something to tell you. We're not short tonight on revelation. The abundance of revelation is in our heart. But now, it's not a shortage in the latter times for the Word. How many of you know that? There will be no shortage in the end time for the Word. There will be no shortage for the Word of God. For the Bible said God will pour out the Word, His Spirit, upon all flesh, and His knowledge shall fill all the earth. There will be no shortage of that. But there will be a shortage for the hearing of the Word in the latter time, because faith will not be in the earth. There will be a shortage for the hearing of the Word. God will have plenty of Word, but there will be a shortage for the hearing. And as the shortage grows greater, then God will sign off, and that will be the end of the world. And we're getting down pretty close. Pretty close. All right, now, I so far don't feel any real stirring toward revelation. I do feel, I kind of feel a borderline. I can feel a seesawing. And I can tell the reason is because we've got some people here that have had their understanding open to revelation and some that have not. And I can tell, see which one's going to outbalance the other. Whatever outbalances the other, well, that's the way that the Spirit will go. Tonight, some of you, I know, have your minds open to revelation. And I know that God will open the understanding of others. If we'll hunger and thirst or try to believe tonight, I know that the Lord will help us. All right? Reading from the book of John in the 6th chapter, I want to read a little bit here and dwell on the thought of the Word tonight if I can. In the 43rd verse of the 6th chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not in who would should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I'd like to take the 63rd verse here, and considering it tonight, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now I want to dwell tonight just a little bit on the word. And as I said, I don't know just exactly what I'll do. I might not get any further than just exhorting you a little bit in the scriptures. But there's one thing that I will do, and that is I'll mention something concerning the word. I'll say something tonight that will help you if I don't get into Revelation. I'll still say something that will help you. But I would love to get into Revelation if I could tonight, because to me, I believe that the church has to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that every other message will fold up and pass away, and that there will be nothing left except the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe it. Now, you might not, and that's all right. I love you just the same, but that's the way I believe it, because that's the way the Lord showed it to me. Now, I believe that we are going to have the revelation of Christ, and that means that we're going to have the mysteries of God. Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, in that day I can't do it. He said, seeing that ye are babes in Christ, he said, I just exhort you to desire the sincere milk of the word, which of course is the Spirit, that ye might grow thereby. But he said, the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Is that right? So then there is some meat, and it is for the strong, and that's what we would like to have is the meat. Is that right? Jesus said, my body is meat indeed. Is that right? My blood is drink indeed. He said, my flesh is meat indeed. And the Bible said that that flesh was the Word of God, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word did dwell among us, and we beheld the Word as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that right? So then, the meat of the Word is the flesh of Jesus Christ. Or the atonement of Calvary, the sacrificial thing that he did as a human body, is a spiritual revelation that John wrote about in 96 AD and waited down through the church ages for us to receive it and understand it. The disciples on one occasion, they said to Jesus, they said, Lord, said, why is it that you speak unto these people in parables? Said, they don't understand what you say. And seeing that they understand not what you say, said, then why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus said, for it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, therefore, that means there is some mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Paul said that great is the mystery of godliness. And he said, I'm a steward of it. Is that right? So then, there is a mystery concerning the kingdom of God. And Paul said it's a great mystery. And it's not given to the world to know that mystery. It is given to the world that they should hear the gospel of Jesus, that they might repent of their sins and come to the Lord. That's all that's given to them. But the mystery that is to translate us into the marvelous kingdom of God and cause us to bypass death, it is not given unto them to know that, but unto you and I it is given. Is that right? Amen. Unto us it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if we know the mysteries of the kingdom, then we can be translated into the kingdom of God and we can't escape death just the same way that Enoch did. Now, if you don't know the mysteries, then you need to know the mysteries of God. The Word is the best place that I know to start with the mysteries. How many of you know that Paul was the apostle to the Gentile church? Being the apostle to the Gentile church, he was a little different from Peter. Because even though Peter had laid a great foundation, having the keys of the kingdom and opening the doors, at that time Peter still didn't understand the mysteries of God. It is evident that he did not, for when Paul went up to talk with him, the Bible said that when Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ and went up to commune with Peter, that it was there that Peter's mind was open, because Peter said, Paul said things that's hard to be understood. He said, those that are unlearned, they wrest these things to their own destruction. It was evident that God had done something for Peter in the visit of Paul. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I don't see where you get that out of the Bible. Well, I'll tell you where I get it. On the occasion when Paul said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, Peter had a doctrine, a great doctrine. He had the foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ, and it laid the foundation and opened the door both for the Jew and for the Gentile into the kingdom of God. Peter said, seeing how that God made a difference between us, choosing me to do that. Is that right? And the doctrinal power of Peter was powerful. The mission of Peter in the power of God was so great that he could raise the dead and he could just walk along and heal people by shadow. But that still didn't suffice for the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the mystery of godliness that was to translate man and not just heal their body, not just tell them something that would be a mystery in their life as far as pointing out their past or future, but something that would bring God's mystery into their heart that would cause them not to just be healed, but to bypass death and sickness altogether. That has always been the ultimate of God. God has instigated healing that it might be a means of bait to make us fishes of men, that it might bring us to the ultimate of God, which is the translating knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Now, I believe that everything has been in part. I believe in healing. As a matter of fact, the last time that I remember being in this area, we had somebody that was healed of epilepsy. They were healed of epilepsy that had it continually, and they were healed, and it was completely gone. As far as I know, down through the years, it has remained gone. Got a testimony just the other day that in a tent meeting we had over here, that a woman was healed of the cancer of the breast. Said she was positively healed of the cancer of breast. Even though her husband had come to the meeting skeptically, yet he went away and found out that God had completely healed. Had a testimony not too long ago. The people here are familiar with it. They turned it in to the tabernacle and we prayed for a woman that had to slide around on her hands and couldn't even get up, and the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And we prayed and sent out her handkerchief to her. And I told the people, I said, I felt God heal the woman. And I believe that we'll get a good report from that. And later her own son was shocked that when he went over to visit with her, having no hope for her, that she was up on her feet working with the husband and doing canning and putting the stuff into the freezer for the cold weather. So I believe in healing. I believe that we've got to have healing. I believe that God wants us to have healing. But at the same time, I believe that not only does God want us to be healed, but I believe that God has an ultimate, and that is that we can come beyond that into a secure place with God to where we can have the very ultimate of Christ's blessing in our heart. And I believe that that is the revelation, the mystery that Paul had that was to be finished at the sounding of the last trump. I believe that everything that God did was back yonder in the foreknowledge of God. I believe it was instigated before the world ever was. I believe that it was manifested in Calvary and that it was completely finished, and that I or no other minister can add anything or take away from what God has done through Christ. I believe that Christ ultimately finished it at Calvary, just as he said. But I believe that it has taken the entirety of the church ages for us to be able to comprehend it, that it might be comprehended in the end time. Instigated in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. Manifested at Calvary and comprehended in the end time. That's the way that I believe it. And I believe that the mystery of God that came at Calvary, that it took all of the church ages, that we might be able to understand the mystery of godliness. I believe that's what the mystery was, that it was the mystery of godliness. And I believe that the mystery of godliness was to be finished at the sounding of the last trump. And I believe that all down through the church ages, that God had caused somebody to preach the gospel and hath revealed, proportionally speaking, from Calvary all the way down to our day, the mystery of God as we have comprehended in part. And I believe that we're getting down to the end of the trail now. And I believe the last trumpet has come forth in the land, and that God's mysteries can be finished in the hour that we're living in, and the church shall have what they want. Hallelujah. You say, well, what do you believe, Brother Pike, is the last trumpet? I just wish we had time to go into it and tell you just what I do believe is the last trumpet. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to dwell on the Word tonight a little if I can. If I have opportunity tomorrow night, if the Spirit of God leads right, we go into the mysteries of God, then I'll be glad to do what little I can in trying to point out what I do believe about it. And I know there's a lot of minds would love to know what I do believe, because I'm real popular across the nation. Yeah, they don't always talk good about me. They say Brother Pike is this and Brother Pike is that, and they got all kind of opinions and all kind of ideas. They did that to Jesus. And his critics was his best advertisement. So then they find a lot of fault with me. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that don't find fault with me. And as a consequence of that, we get mail from around the nation. And people come to hear the gospel, and we're able to help them go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that I'm sure that some of them here would like to know just exactly what our conviction is. But staying with the Word tonight, I believe that the entire plan of God is comprehended within what is referred to as the Word. I believe that all of heaven and earth, all of the visible things and all of the invisible things, is comprehended within Calvary. I believe that. We've got hundreds of tapes that we've made on the teachings of God that's never been let out. They've just started letting them out because God let me know he didn't want them out till this time. And it tells exactly what happened at Calvary in many ways. And it's an astounding thing to know that when Jesus said it is finished, that he meant every word that he said. And when you go back to the Revelation, that it will dovetail back to Calvary so beautifully until it's utterly amazing.
Amen.
Everything was in Calvary. He'd done so much. That's why that just a few short years after Calvary, after 33 AD, just a few short years, which was 96 AD, John got exiled and began to write the book concerning the revelation of Calvary, which was called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. If you'll read it in the book of John, it starts off by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of Brother Pike, not the revelation of Brother Paul, not the revelation of Brother Branham, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you'll find out that that was given to John, and even though Paul spoke of as much revelation, yet when it comes to the revelation,
hallelujah,
it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This was what was given to John. I am convinced that there is three parts of the operation of God in everything. Three major parts, and in any way that you break it down, it will always come out that way. And I believe that the last part was the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was not given to the Gentile people as the days of grace was, nor was given to the Jews as the days of the law was, but was given to the church in the hour that we're living in as the revelated kingdom of God to be set up in the earth. I do not believe that anybody else has it. I do not believe that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, that that is the end of the world. I do not believe that. When the Lord Jesus comes back in the clouds of heaven, I do not believe that that is the end of the world. I believe that that is the end of one phase of what God is doing. Just as God destroyed the world by water, as that was one phase, so will God again bring another phase of it and destroy the world again. But I find in the Bible that at the end of this age that God will bring about what we refer to, not the new earth, but a restored earth, where God will still again multiply replenish the earth and have a government of the manifestation of the sons of God, which is called the kingdom age. I believe that the Jews have had their kingdom or had their age back there many years ago. I believe that the Gentiles have had their age, and every one of them has ruled with a rod of iron. But I believe that God is going to bring forth a people that will establish his kingdom right here on this present earth, and that the manifestation of those sons will bring in what we call the millennium or the kingdom age. I think you'll agree with me that there's no such word in the Bible as millennium. But the word coming from the Catholic letter M goes back to meaning 1,000. And you'll agree that there's no such word as the rapture, which is a man-made application that has turned the church for a loop. Having the church, Brother Hammonds, to set in a state of waiting, expecting something abnormal to happen while they go on doing the things of the world and leading to the flesh, just sitting around expecting God to come and just lift them up and take them out. That has been a real decoy. But Paul speaks of the rapture, or calls it the translation, and speaks of it as the change which comes from glory to glory by a divine revelation of a revealed mystery that can only come through the preaching of the word by the minister. Enoch was translated by faith. That's the way it came. I believe that faith cometh by the preaching or the hearing of the word. And I believe that a man's got to be called of God to be able to preach that word. So then, I believe that this is the most glorious hour that the church world has ever come to at any time in the history of mankind. I believe it. I'm excited. David said, my cup runs over. I am not praying for God to establish his kingdom in heaven. I am not spending my time asking God to establish his kingdom in heaven, nor to take me to what is referred to in heaven for the establishing of the kingdom. I'm not praying that way at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm persuaded to believe everything's all right in heaven to begin with, and that God has taken care of that, and that the sun realm, which is the manifestation of the sons of God, is the place God is trying to set up the kingdom. The devil is taking over the world, and the kingdom of this world is in the hands of Satan, and he's the prince of this world. But the Bible said in the book of Revelation that when the last trumpet sounds, there comes forth a great proclamation that says, and now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! You feel good, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Like over in Kentucky a few days ago, when I was compelled to go there on the behalf of my son, over there where Fort Knox is and all the gold, I had to go through the chain of commands and finally got to go into the general's office, which is like getting in to see God. I finally managed to get in when they said I couldn't. And I got in, and when I talked to him and I talked to the rest of the brass, I tried to explain my petition. I tried to get a little mercy granted to me in the behalf of what I'd gone for, but they didn't want to give me any. So I just politely said, sir, if that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's got to be. But I am going to win out and you are going to lose, because I've come here to tell you that God is going to set up his kingdom, and then where is that going to leave you? Because I'm going to be one of the leaders there in that, and you're going to be out. The old general got shook up and began to do what I asked him to do. He'd have no more trouble out of it. You know what? God willing to confirm even to the uttermost what had taken place, that my own son accidentally, when he left, got the general's coat by mistake with his stars and brought them to me. He said, Daddy, said I didn't know what to do, said I was scared to death, said I had the thing on, and I done got things straightened out, and said I was afraid to go back and tell him, I was afraid to put me in jail, said I didn't know what to do, said I just took the bars off and stuck them in a pocket and kept going. The Lord, hallelujah, has a way of doing things, don't he? Changing it around that we might be able to do something. Now, I've made a lot of predictions in my lifetime, and some of you are acquainted with them. And I just made another one the other day. And I believe it'll come to pass. But I made a lot of them in my time, and I believe that this one will come to pass. But I believe that the crisis that we are now in, I do not believe that they will last. I made that statement before the crisis ever hit. I said, according to what has been revealed to me, that everything will go down like this to make way for Antichrist. And I said at that time, the number of the beast will start coming in, and that this very year that Antichrist will reveal himself. I said, and with that, after that it goes down, that all of a sudden it will take a trend and go back up, because the Bible said that Antichrist will make craft prosper. I believe the word. So then, I made the statement that all of the other spiritual things would just run out. I said by 1970, I said the lights will be well on their way out, which was Brother Branham and Brother A.A. Allen and Brother Roberts and Billy Graham, all of those different ones. Most of you here tonight, or some of you know, that as we predicted each one of them's death or fall or what it was to happen to them, that it came to pass just exactly like we said. When we started to leave Mississippi, we said A.A. Allen will take sick and die. That his death is near at hand. As quick as we got over here, they come and told us that the man had taken sick and died. Is that right? I said, the Lord said a long time ago, the Lord showed me that Oral Roberts would turn away from Pentecost in his old age and fall away in his old age. I predicted he would do it. He did it. Is that right? I said that Brother Branham would come out of the desert about 65 and his ministry would be over. And God showed me his death in the early part of 65 when we were down in Hialeah, Florida, at the time that the angel of God came to me and the Lord himself appeared to me and put a ring on my finger when he asked about the stone of my birth. I said that Brother Branham would die. I told Brother J.T. Parnell. And I said, I've seen his death. And in a little while, Brother Branham was dead and gone. I said that Billy Graham's ministry would be over here not too long ago. I said that Billy Graham's ministry is over, and in a little while, it'll be made known. Within a few weeks, it came out in the paper. Some of you remember the prediction and the statement. It came out that Billy Graham said that because of a physical condition, he'd only hold two more revivals, and that would be it, that he would quit. And I said, that's not it at all. It's not because of his physical condition. I said, it's because of a racial conflict. And that is the reason that Billy is coming off of the field. And in a little while, they published an article that it was because of racial conflict, and there was something like a $500,000 suit against him or something to this extent. According to Amendment 5, is that right? Then I said that the great man Armstrong, Ted Armstrong, I said, Garner Ted's ministry is over. I said it is done exactly in Revelation what was to be done. I said it's been one of the greatest outreaches in the world. I said, but it's over and it'll show up. Within a few weeks, Garner Ted, they found out that he was mixed up in some kind of a fire. They put his name in the papers and in the magazines and the scandal hit. And they stated that never in the history of what they were doing had they ever at any time had a bust up or a separation, but they had a split. And the thing went down the drain. They're fighting for a comeback. I made the statement that Brother David Terrell would be one of the last men that would be on the field as a breach over. And you know what that has to do with Brother Baldwin and some of them that we wouldn't have time to go into tonight, and what it has to do with this Bible right here and Brother John Jameson coming to this very spot right here. Is that right? Now, I said Brother Terrell will turn his face toward the islands. And overseas, I got word today that he's overseas right now. I said, that's what he'll do, and that all of a sudden it'll be almost confounding to the ministry and to Brother Terrell when God just signs off like that. And Brother Terrell has made the statement, I just got another report on today, said that God hasn't spoke to him about anything. According to report, that might be exaggerated the way they brought it, but that's where it come. And said that ever since Nixon, where he saw Nixon would walk out of the White House, which came to pass just the way he said it. He said God hadn't shown him anything beyond Nixon. What is it? The lights are going out. Things are happening. So many multiplied ministers that we spoke of what they would do, speaking of it in the mind of God, because it was to be at the end time as God revealed the knowledge of Jesus Christ to the human family. I've heard people say, well, God doesn't want you to know everything. I don't believe that. The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Jesus said, all that my Father's made known unto me, I have made known unto you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are great people tonight. As a matter of fact, you're more than a people. The Bible tells me that you're gods tonight.
Hallelujah.
You're gods. Ye shall die like men because of unbelief, but the Bible said that ye are gods tonight. And a god is something that cannot die. There is no reason for you to die tonight. You don't have to die tonight. God said that you didn't have to die tonight. A lot of people say, well, the devil has caused death to be in the world. Or they talk of death like it's the first cousin of God. Or the right-hand man of God. But I want you to know tonight that death is an enemy of God. And that God has no fellowship with death. And that God did not bring death into the world. The Bible said that death came by man. It was because of man's unbelief. And the Bible said that rather than the resurrection coming by God, that the resurrection also comes by man. Jesus rose up out of the grave, overcame the powers of the enemy, and said, these things that I do shall you do also. No man can take my life. He said, God has given me this commandment. I have received it of my Father. I have power to lay it down or to take it up. You have the same power tonight. You have the same authority tonight. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know that the scriptures state that no man has power over the spirit to retain it in death? My dear friend, I'm not speaking to men tonight. I'm speaking to gods tonight. I'm speaking of those that are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that has royal blood flowing through the veins. Hallelujah. This is the people that I'm speaking of tonight. Great and mighty people of God. Solomon said one time as he stood before them, though God had enlightened him, though God had given him understanding, yet with all of his magnificence, as he come to know to whom he spake, he said, how can I speak unto such a people? Oh God, he prayed, give me understanding that I might be able to address these people. And my friends tonight, you are so great that if one of you tonight was unveiled, the noonday sun would never come out again. If just one daughter in the Lord, just one son of God, tonight if God unveiled him, the sunlight would never show itself, never again. Because the brightness of that would be so great. The Bible said that they shall shine above the noonday sun. So then you don't understand that we have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels tonight. Now, in these things that we speak of, there are so many multiplied things that I would like to relate as far as what we refer to as current news from God, or as Brother Brandon used to say, fresh from heaven, or that is to say, what God is doing in the way of a present day truth. There is so much we'd like to say about that. But if we do, then we won't get to elaborate on the word like we want to. But there are so many multiplied things that have taken place. I'm going to drop this in. And I want you to listen now. God's word is spirit. That means that it is a revelated mind of God that has been preserved down through the dark age by a pen and a paper. But God has never helped himself to pen and paper. Never. That was just a means of preservation and intellectual preservation. But God is a spirit. God writes his laws upon the tables of your heart. God says that you are an epistle that's known and read of all men. God preserved the word by men like Elijah. And now that the dark age is gone, God wants to preserve the word again by those that are literally burning with fire of God on the inside, that will stand up and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, or stand up and witness, or stand up and prophesy, or stand up and revelate the truths of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. The enthusiasm of the people of God, the fervency to be on fire for God in the latter times. When he spoke of a church having a name that was living and yet it was dead. But in this hour that we, you and I, can have the fervency of God. When he said either be hot or cold, in a time when it's lukewarm, to come out and stand for God and get on the front lines for Jesus Christ. What a time. What a day. Now's the hour when you're supposed to rise up and take the kingdom. The Bible said that Satan would overcome the saints. Is that right? He would wear out the saints. He would blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called. Is that right? The yellow man, he's fighting to get control. The white man, he's fighting to get control. And the black man, he's fighting to get control. Every person is fighting the Laodicean age, the people of rights. You know, they want their rights as a wife. They want their rights as a child. They want their rights as a husband. They want their rights in this and their rights in that. But I'll tell you what, I've surrendered my rights to God. And I believe that what we need to do is to wake up to the fact that neither the red man, nor the black man, nor the white man, nor any other man is going to take the kingdom that God has allotted to the saints of God. And if you want to be on the winning side, get with the saints. Amen. Whether you're black or white or red or whatever you are, get away from discrimination and prejudice and get with God, because we're on the winning side. So then the Word. We see that the Word is a divine power of authority. It is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the Christ, and it is the same to every generation. And all that we have to do to put it into effect is to believe. Is that right? Yes, the Bible said that he sent his word and he healed them. I believe that if you want a deliverance ministry, all you've got to do is get the revelation of the Lord and know what God appropriated in the atonement at Calvary in your behalf. And brother, if you can know that and then believe that, you'll have a deliverance ministry that nothing can't stand in the front of. That's right. Now you say, what do you mean by that? I mean that if you want the gift of healing, all you've got to do is get the word. Because the Bible said that God sent his word and healed him. Is that right? If you want the gift of discernment, all you've got to do is get the word. For the Bible said that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Is that right? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Bible said, if you're weak, just be strong in the power of his might. Amen. If you need healing, the word will heal you. Is that right? God created the world by his word. God created the stars by his word. God has never been anything but a voice. Hallelujah. The same voice where he said would speak through the ministry would not be you, but it would be the voice. And the voice said, let there be in their walls. Yeah. Always, that's what it said. Let there be in their walls. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Bible said that light shined out of darkness. When this was deep in darkness in here, despair, bewilderment, and the soul had fallen to the deepest depths of the pit, God came on the scene. And the Bible said he moved upon the waters. How many of you know that in Revelation, waters means people? It said he moved upon the waters. And he said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, a revelation came. Is that right? He said there would be light in the evening time. Is that right? And said he divided the waters from the waters by placing a great firmament in the heavens. Is that right? When he placed Calvary there, that divided the troubled, muddy waters from the pure, flowing waters of salvation. Is that right? There are some people that's clean tonight. There are some people that's holy tonight. And there are some troubled waters, for God, there is a firmament that stands between heaven and earth that separates the waters from the waters tonight. What a wonderful thought. Jesus, the Word. Who is that Word? We say, here's the Word, Brother Pine. No, that's not the Word. Say, well, there was the Word when Elijah was there. But my brother, Elijah is gone. But now say, where is the Word? He said, the law and the prophets were until John. He said, but since that time, there has been a message called the message of the kingdom. And said, the kingdom of God is now a revelation. That the kingdom of God is now a message. And that what you need to do is to preach the kingdom of God. That you can preach this thing now. It's spirit, it's word. It comes by faith and divine transformation of the mind. Is that right? Somebody say, well, where is the kingdom? They said to Jesus one time, the Jews said, will you, Lord, at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not given unto you to know the time. They thought, Lord, there was one time when David sat upon the throne, and in that day we had a wonderful time. And it's always been prophesied by the prophets that someday Messiah would come and bring that same regina of David back, that the son of David would never fail to sit on the throne. Jesus knew that. And Jesus came for that. But Jesus could have said it like this. He could have said, now children, don't be disturbed. It's just seven church ages away. But he didn't do that. He confounded them by just keeping silent as Jesus and the Christ, which was the spiritual part, spoke up and said, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, he said, I'm not dealing with natural Jews at this time. That's the Jesus part, he said. But I'm looking for a spiritual Jew. How many of you know when Jacob went down there to get Rachel that he wanted her rather than Leah? But the custom was so sad in the land, you can't marry the younger before the old. So he had to spend 7 years with Leah before he could ever get Rachel. Is that right?
Right.
But the Bible said as they journeyed on their way back to the father's house, got up past El Bethel up there, and just before they got to Ephraim, the Bible said that she travailed and Benjamin was born.
Hallelujah.
And she died. And the Bible said that Jacob went back to Leah.
Yes,
if Jesus started with a Jew, when the Gentile days are over, he'll go back to the Jew, my brother. As he started back to the father's house from the land of Padan Aram. Is that right? He was on his way, and in the way the Bible said that Rachel died. Are you listening? How many of you know that when he crossed over Jordan after about 20 years down there with his mother's brother? How many know that after he got out of there and crossed over Jordan that they put up a pillar? They put up a pillar. How many know that they put up a pillar going down to the land of Laban, over there at a place called Bethel? He named it that, Luz. How do you know that? And then when he came out, just before he got back to that pillar, where Deborah died, the nurse of Rebecca, just before he got back to that, he crossed over Jordan. Is that right? And when he went over the Jordan, he set a pillar as a great memorial event to let those know that he crossed over Jordan. How do you know that when Joshua went over, that they took the stones and they laid them on this side of Jordan? They laid them on this side of Jordan because it crossed over. And it was to be a great memorial event. When Jacob crossed Jordan, he put up the pillar. And then the men gathered the stones. Why? It was to be a great memorial event. And we spoke about the trip that they would make to the moon. And that's what this has to do with tonight. I hope you're spiritual.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Speaking of the trip to the moon, I said that I believe that they would make it about a certain time, and he did. As a matter of fact, some of you remember the Utica Pike Lost and Found meeting over yonder that we had that we said would come off, and it finally come when we never had even been to the place to even know it was such a place. You remember the night they was going to launch a satellite? had everything all ready for the countdown, and there was going in the last numbers of the countdown. And I said, well, it might go off like that. I said, but if it does, I sure don't see it in Revelation. I said, if it goes off according to the countdown that they got right now, I said, it's sure going to give me a batch set in what I understood of God. I said, but if it went off at a certain time, I said, that would be just right. All of a sudden, they stopped the countdown, and they said, something's wrong. And they had to hold it up. And they kept holding it up. And after a while, it moved around to the time that God told me that I told the brethren. And they started to count, and she went off just like that. Made the trip. Why? Because God creates the good and the evil. God has His way in both. And God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Is that right? I said that has to do with the crossing of Jordan. Is that right? All right, just hold on. I'll let you go in just a few minutes. I said that has to do with the crossing of Jordan. I said nobody's ever went across that great beyond. Never. Never before. They'd come across one world, the old world, the Catholics back there in the old world, the English. They had left that from the European world, and they'd come over here and establish a new world called America. But that was just the second phase of it. There was one more world to be discovered if God does it in threes, and that was a trip to the moon. Because the Bible said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And when they set that thing up there, I said, they'll do it for sure. And when they set it up there, they called it a nest. Is that right? Among the stars. Is that right? We wrote a little song about it. Had it setting up here on the moon. Is that right? The first one that broke through space, what was his name? Shepherd, hanging between heaven and earth. Opening the way to the galaxies, to the heavens. Jesus. Is that right? And then, after that, they went on up. They got on up. They discovered Jacob's ladder to heaven. Is that right? When he got over there and he set it up at Bethel, said he saw a ladder that was from earth going all the way to heaven, and the angels going up and down the ladder. He said, my, said, this is the house of God. Hallelujah. You ever run into the house of God and made any vows? He made some vows. Is that right? The Bible said, though thy sins reach up to heaven, the carnal mind that's imitated to God, from thence I shall cast thee down. Satan seeks to rule between heaven and earth. Because some of you know how we preach the first, second, third heaven. Up there in that area, he seeks to rule. Is that right? Is that right? So then they made the crossing, and then they came back, and they brought the stones back, and they placed them down in Houston, Texas. And that's what had to do with the new. For Brother John is from Houston, Texas. That's his home. That's where his parents is. I said he had to do with the new. That's why I've got his Bible here tonight. Because this meeting represents the crossing of the Jordan. You say, what is the Jordan, Brother Pike? The carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. To have an intellectual concept of God from the garden experience of the beast mind through an educational system is death. But to get over it and come into the mind of Christ is a garden. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom of God is a message. It is a revelation. You can preach it. You can be translated into it. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It's within you. It's within you. That is Christ within you, the hope of glory. It's faith within you. And did you know that tonight, if you help fellowship with the world, that my brother, that the world is in you. That the world is in you. The Bible said God has set the world in you. That you can't find your way. What is it? It is a mind. It is a spirit, and a spirit is a mind. Is that right? The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. That God's eyes are throughout the earth, looking for the upright in heart. Is that right? That he might show himself strong in their behalf. So then, the spirit within you, the spirit within you, if the world is in you, then you have an intellectual concept of God and an unbelief. That is to say, you believe in dogmas and ideology, ritualistics, and conformity to the world. And therefore, you are caught in the environment of your own thinking, because Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Somebody would say, you'll never make me buy that. You can't buy it because it's not for sale. Hallelujah. I'm giving it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, when he spoke of the kingdom, he said that's also within you. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me just because I believe that I'm not in this world, I'm not in this world? I mean to tell you that if you believe with your head that you're not in this world, you're perhaps insane. Or you're mentally unbalanced. Or you're just fooling yourself. But my brother, if you truthfully believe in your heart that you have passed from death unto life, you cannot die. If you believe in your heart that you're in another world, my brother, you are in another world. Somebody say, what are you talking about? Jesus said that ye are not of this world. The world's within a person. How can you prove it? When Jesus come up out of the grave, how many know he was still flesh and bones? Hallelujah. Somebody said, God and Jesus, the same thing. You ought to check up. I said, you ought to check up. Somebody said, well, I believe he's three. Well, you need to check up. He's neither one nor three. He's three in one. How do you know that? Amen. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that John 4:24 says God is a spirit. And when Jesus rose from the dead and come over there and he started to feel of him, they said, it's a spirit. Jesus said, no. He said, a spirit don't have flesh and bones like I have. I'm the Son of God. He said, my Father's a spirit. You'd say amen or oh me. It's wrote in the book. He came in the volume of the book. That's the way it's written. Now you say, what do you mean by that? I mean that when the Lord came up out of the grave, he was still flesh and bones. But my brother, he could walk right through a wall. How could he do it? How could he walk through the wall? How could he do it? Because the world wasn't in his heart. And as long as you don't believe, you're not caught in the environment of it. There is no walls except in your believing. Adam and Eve fell because of his belief. Hallelujah. We're getting a few more minutes. Then, what is the kingdom? It's the same thing. If you believe in your heart, you're in the kingdom. If you believe in your heart the other way, you're in the world. All right, let's take just a few more minutes. So then we see that the Word is a seed, a divine power of transformation. Now look at it like this. That the Bible said, to be therefore transformed by the renewings of your mind. Is that right? To prove the good acceptable will of God. Then the Bible tells us that God hath, not going to do it tomorrow now or in another revival, but God hath, it's finished at Calvary. All we got to do is believe it, accept it, get our inheritance. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached and men pressed their way into it. We have divinely been translated into the kingdom of God. Is that right? I know we wait for the redemption of the body. Paul said that we with the redemption. But if you happen to understand, that's also taken care of Calvary in Calvary too. It just takes the seven church ages to comprehend it for the man child to be caught up. How do you remember when we taught that when the child was born at Calvary, the rent veil differentiating between the Christ and the Jesus? Jesus said, speaking of the rent veil, that I'll raise this body up in 3 days, speaking of the temple now, and then the rent veil, the separation, that in 3 days I'll raise it up, help you destroy the temple. And the Bible said, they being carnal minded, thought he was talking about a natural building because that was the type in the wilderness. Is that right? And they understood not that he spake of his body. Is that right? Are you following me? But the Bible said he made in himself twain. Two. Say, where do you get that? The Bible said both Lord and Christ. So to rend the temple in two, in twain, to separate the Lord from the Christ. To take the Jews, separate them. Take Jesus, made sin, as the head to the scapegoat, and the Jews as the many-membered body that went out of the presence of God, going away in the wilderness according to the old laws, ritualistics. Is that right? That another might come forth, which was the Christ, which is the head of the spiritual Jew. For God always does things in secret, in a mystery, in the spirit, to the church. But he always does things as a natural Jesus to a natural Jewish body in a natural world through a natural historical act. But to God's people, to the spiritual Jew, it is a spiritual Christ head, to a spiritual membership of a spiritual Jew, with a spiritual mind, to a spiritual quickening, to a spiritual revelation, and a spiritual resurrection. Is that right? I just wish we had time to elaborate on that. I don't want to introduce too many things here. I'll get scattered, get your mind scattered, and I won't stay right on the trail. I want to stay right with the trunk of the tree. If I run off on a limb, we might get lost out there. Get too many limbs going, but let's just stay with the trunk of the tree just for a little bit, can we? So then, I said that the rent veil, the differentiating between the Lord and the Christ, rending the temple in twain, that it had to do with what the Bible calls the opening of the matrix, and that Jesus was the woman that was standing on the moon, and that at the time that he stood on the moon, that the matrix was open and the child was born. Now, all of you know that preachers are referred to as physician when he said, physician, heal thyself. Knowing that at Calvary, that a headship came first. Always, it's in life when the rest of the body is within the veil. Is that right? Because it took 7 church ages to bring the membership of the body out of the veil, that at the ending of the church ages, the last trumpet sounding, the man-child was caught up or also out into life, out of the veil, the unveiled masterpiece of God. The finishing of the mysteries, which is the mystic body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you follow what I'm saying now? The crossing over of the Jordan. Hallelujah, I feel good. The crossing over of the Jordan. When Jacob got over that river, and as I said, remember, they done crossed over that great span, they done landed on the moon. Got to be a natural parallel with everything, spiritually speaking. There can't be nothing spiritual unless there's a natural type. God won't do nothing spiritual unless he shows it in natural types. So then, if going to the moon was the crossing, then it means that we're in the hour of the crossing of the Jordan, which is the intellectual concept of God that means death. Hey, if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. You've got to be in spirit. We're not in the flesh. We're born in spirit. You follow me? Hallelujah. We're not in earth tonight. The Bible said, ye have been chosen out of the world. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've translated you in the kingdom. Where are you? We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. We're standing tonight, not in Athens place, but in the heavenly places God appointed. I'm not down in the world. If you're down there, you need to come up here. The boy said, John, come on up where we're at. It's a lot better up here. You ever been up above the clouds? Get under the clouds. There's tornadoes and twisters. Get above the clouds. Everything's peaceful. Ain't nothing up there. That's right. Get away from the devil. Stay away from him. Don't give place to him. Don't live down the valley. David said, it's all right if you're in the valley, yea, though I walk through the valley. I made a statement from heaven, this is a valley down here. He said, I'm walking through this valley. He said, and it's a valley of the types and shadows, which is death. Is that right? So I'm walking through it. But he said, his rod and his staff comfort me. I've got the word of the Holy Ghost, he said, with me. I walk through the valley of the shadows, but I'm not afraid of death. Said, it's conquered through Jesus. I still feel good. So then the crossing of the Jordan, going over the Jordan, if coming over, and I ain't got time to bring this out, but if coming over the Red Sea was Calvary, speaking spiritually, if it was Calvary, and if journeying through the wilderness was the time of Joseph down in the prison when he got the keys, when Jesus went down the heart of the earth, if that's true, then when he come up out of the grave, it was the crossing over of death, which is the Jordan. For it was after that they crossed over Jordan that they got their new harvest. How do you know Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept? And one of the old feasts of the Old Testament was barley harvest. When he come up, the first fruits, The whole stalk just waving, the first fruits. How do you know that? But a little later on, they got into the wave offering after they got over Jordan. Is that right? They got the new harvest. I made the statement that the old has gone out. I made a prediction good long while back. I said, Brother Branham, he'll come out of the desert out there. His wife, that is. I said, Billy Paul will come out. I said, he'll go back to Jeff. And when they get back to Jeff, I said, just as quick as they get back to Jeff, I said, that move will be over. And I said, the Billy Paul move will be over. I said, because he is the son of the bondswoman, which is the Baptist wife. Hope. Faith, hope, and charity. Hope. I said, and he represents the followers that stay right with books and tapes all the time. Because it's God in the veil. It's the Jesus where the head's been cut off. And they've turned it into an intellectual law and a letter. Brother Branham said, give them 3 years and make a denomination out of it. Said his followers would do it. How many of you know I said that it's going out? I said, but there's another man by the name of Joseph. A little boy that comes from a Pentecostal wife. Is that right? I said, he's a type of the move out of the veil, which is not called the message, but called the revelation. For the seed, the message, was to fall in the ground and die. Paul said, let's it die to bite alone. And then when it dies, out of that comes the life. Out of that comes that which we're looking for is the revelation, the unveil. I said, where do you get that? All right, listen for just a minute. They did move back like I said they would. All of a sudden, they up, the wife, Billy Paul, all of them moved back to Jeff, just like we said. I said, they'll do it right away. They done it. I said, that'll be over. All of a sudden, they start having complications. They start having shortage on the money for the spoken word. Brother Borders found, they found a hole in his heart, had to go have an operation. Brother J.T. Parnell rose up against him, went over and rebuked Brother Borders and the, all of them to their face over and said, you're backslid. Said, God showed it to me in a vision. And said, I saw you worshiping an image. They begin to get off track around the tabernacle. And I made the statement. I said, those people are publishing lies. I said, and they don't understand what they're doing. Amen. You say, how do they do it? By telling the people that Brother Branham was still the pastor of the church when he was dead. That's a lie. Amen. If I said Paul the apostle was the pastor of that church over yonder and him dead, I'd be a liar. And the simple was being deceived by it. Brother Branham would have never catered to anything like that because I knew him personally. He wasn't that kind of feller. He brought the message of God. I said, that's the end of it, brethren. I said, there she goes. I said, just watch what I'm telling you. That's the end of it. All of a sudden, they started having confusion problems. All of a sudden, I said, now you're going to find this out. That is not the move of Brother Branham. It is a Methodist move. And it does not go back to Brother Branham as the head. It goes back to Brother Neville, who was a Methodist preacher. And I reminded him of the vision where Brother Branham said he came to his own church. And when he came to her, she was wrote Mrs. Methodist and had spots on her. Is that right? And the Lord told him that the church would not feed to go westward. Is that right? Come on, say amen or oh me. If I'm saying the truth, say, oh me, if I ain't doing it, come over here and stick your hand in my mouth or something. Paul says the mouths ought to be stopped. If mine ain't telling the right thing, it ought to be stopped. If it's telling the right thing, you ought to have a backbone enough to say amen. Who are you for, the kingdom of God or your ideas about it? Back there, that Bible said that they were afraid to speak about Jesus. They said we're Moses' disciples, but we're not going to speak about Jesus. They put us out of the synagogue. I tell you, in that day, the best place you could have been was out of the synagogue. That's right. Jesus was on the outside. He wouldn't let him in. It's the best place to be. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You've heard the complaint where the man come and said, Lord, help me. I got to get back in the church. You got me outside. He said, son, don't worry about it. I'm out here too. Hallelujah. Stand at the door knocking. So then I said, you're going to see this. Is that right? At the very same time I spoke of the stone mountain up here, I won't get into all them things. There's so many multiplied things. I spoke of it and what it had to do with what was happening. I remember me saying that. And a great life world painting ahead of prayer. What it had to do with it. I said at this time, this is the end of the spoken word. And inasmuch as the spoken word was the original seed, it will be the revelated word, which is the spiritual unveiled Christ. How do we know the revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of Christ himself? Paul said it pleased God that Christ should be revealed within him. That was the coming of the Lord. Christ. It's a spiritual church. A spiritual hand. Christ coming. Hi, God, brethren, wake up. It's late in the day. Speak unto your spirituals. It pleased God, he said, that Christ be revealed within him. He said, the only thing that's out of season for my day, we'll let Brother Hammonds preach it. It'll fit in his day. Let Brother Ben preach it. It'll fit in his day. That's right. That's the truth. That's what he meant. He said, I'm as one that ought to be born in the days of Brother Pike. I know too much, he said, for this day. I've seen it, but the laws of God won't let me preach it. He'll throw all the types, shatters everything out of continuity according to the laws of heaven. Is that right? All right, give me a few more minutes. I am going to close. I keep saying, but I really am going to close. You're a good audience. And you encourage me just a little longer. But if you just give me just a few minutes, I'll try to stop it off. Now listen. If that was the crossing of the Jordan, how many of you know that just as quick as Jacob got over Jordan, that the stones was placed as a memorial and a covenant was made at a place called Mizpah. Are you listening? How many remember that vision where the Lord told me when he started digging that well over our place over there, said, name that well Mizpah. And I thought, Mizpah? I thought, my lands, what a name, Mizpah. Even in the vision, I thought, Mizpah? Name a well Mizpah? I couldn't even figure out what Mizpah was. I read it a number of times, but it never registered. Got Brother Taylor to go back and do a little searching, got down on it, and it was the very place where Jacob crossed over Jordan. And I made a prediction. I said there'd be a church here, 12 trailers, not thinking about the stones. And then when God spoke to me that he was doing something, all of a sudden I realized that the coming over the Jordan was when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. If by sin one man died, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all are made alive that can believe. Come on, if that's right, say amen. By sin, by one man sin entered the world, death came to one man. Even so comes righteousness. Is that right? By one man. If by the sins of one man be everybody be dead, by the resurrection of life and righteousness of Jesus Christ, all men be made alive. If he was delivered from my offenses and nailed to the cross and made sin that I might be made his righteous body, then he was delivered from my offenses and the nails went in his hands because I offended. But the Bible said he was raised for my justification. That by the resurrection I know there's nothing against me. Because he'd have never come out of the grave if sin hadn't have been finished. If the slate hadn't have been clean, he'd have never come up. But the fact that he come up, it means I'm without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you just wait till the ministry gets through and they're going to preach to us until they get us to where we don't never make no more mistakes. There'll never be such a day. There'll never be such a day. You say, well, don't you believe that the ministry is set here to perfect the saints? I certainly do. Not to win the world. Somebody said preaching is to win the world. Said for the perfection of the saints. God's already got his elect according to foreknowledge. He knows who's coming, who ain't. Said these are elect according to foreknowledge. Somebody said, well, what kind of condition are you in, Brother Pike? I'm not preaching to you to try to get you to quit dipping snuff, smoking cigarettes, talking about your neighbor, backbiting. Brother, when the nature of Jesus comes in, you just shell that stuff off. The Bible said if you clean the inside of the planet, all of that will wash away. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith by the hearing of the word, the revelation of the ministry, to perfect your faith as you know in part, to perfect it till it comes to the perfect place called the faith, to be translated, all men have faith, a measure of human faith, but all men have not faith, the Bible said, which is the faith, Christ's faith, the translating faith, faith by the hearing of the word, not ideology and doctrine, but by the hearing of the word. Are you listening now? All right, stay with me just a little longer now. So then, there is a divine work that's taking place in your heart. Transformation of the mind, translation of the spirit, and transfiguration of your body. The first is the translation in the kingdom by divine birth in the spirit. And then when that happens, that is an instantaneous work that's coming out of Egypt. And then the transformating of the mind, where you know in part, is a gradual, progressive work, which is the 40 years in the wilderness. How many of you know the old saying is life begins at 40? Coming out of the wilderness. The progressive thing. But when that is finally finished, the last phase of it is over the Jordan. The first phase is over the Red Sea. The next one is over Jordan. Now, just hold on just for a minute. Over the Jordan. That's the ultimate of the journey. Is that right? All right, listen. Death by the way of the cross, Red Sea, down through the heart of the earth like Joseph, through the wilderness, coming back up after 3 days in the heart of the earth and so forth, coming back up. And my, there's a bushel of revelation there. Coming back up when you get to the Jordan, coming over the grave, coming over the Jordan now. Now, listen real good. Coming over the Jordan, after you come over the Jordan, that progressive work has been finished. The last stages of it is also instantaneous. The first part, new birth, instantaneous translation of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. The second work, transformating, Paul said, be therefore transformed by the new of your mind. Transformating in part. How many of you know that the devil can transform his mind? How many of you know that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, which is a revelation or a message? How many of you know that? My, and then the saints of God can't do it. There must be something wrong. There must be something wrong. You know how he does it? The Bible said if you believe, he believes too. He's learned the secret of believing. That's right. I wish we had time to break it down. He's learned the secret of believing. That's how they have miracles, lying signs and wonders in the day we're living in. But listen now. If it's coming over in progressiveness of transformation, the last stages of it in the land of Canaan is an instantaneous change of the body, which is the transfiguration of the body in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Is that right? Oh, I just wish we had some time. But listen, coming over the Jordan, the Lord, once that death was conquered, what did he do? He set 12 stones. Come on, man. You say, where do you get that? He said, I'll remember you when I come to make up my jewels. And jewels is what? He said, lively stones. He set 12 stones on this side of Jordan and called them the 12 apostles. And to prove to you that it's right, he said, this is the foundation of the city. You can find it wrote in John's Revelation when he wrote about Calvary and said, every man will have to take heed how he builds on these principles. Is that right? Paul said, because I am the wise master builder. Said, because I've got the revelation. Said, and you have rejected the chief cornerstone. And said, that cornerstone is Jesus. And said, every one of the stones that you put together has been with something outside of charity. And said, it's untempered man-made mortar ideology. Said, it'll crumble down. But said, these shall be bonded together with love. And by the charity of the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Amen. And they won't break ranks. Alright, listen. After coming over the Jordan, left seven church ages for the preaching of the mysteries. If it left the seven church ages, it would be perfectly in harmony with what we said when the angel declared in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. The visions of John and of Daniel. It would be perfectly in line when he said, cut the tree down. Who was the tree? The Jews. He said, cut the tree down and let seven times pass over it. So it's by the degree of the decree of the watcher and the demand of the holy ones. Said, cut it down. Is that right? The great society of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, extending on over to the stone hewn out of the mountain that hit the iron, the toes, the 10 nations coming up in the end time. This revelation coming out, striking, tying it down. Is that right? Now, are you listening? If seven times passes over the tree, then he said, after the
that it passes over the tree said, leave the stump and let it grow again.
Yes, amen.
Is that right? For 7 years of tribulation can pass over the Jew, God will bring them out in the end time and they'll grow again as a nation. Is that right?
Yes.
7 church ages pass over, he'll bring the church back up. 7 years from the time that Brother Branham went out, I said he'd bring it back up. For the voice of the healing tree went out. All the limbs withered. It went down. Is that right? And I said at this time it's the crossing of the Jordan. And at the crossing of the Jordan it was comprehending what had happened at Calvary. Because comprehending what happened at Calvary was the woman standing on the moon that was in travail. How do we know that the flesh is considered the woman? Is that right? And the spirit's considered male. Is that right? Here was the woman standing with her feet on the moon. What was the moon? If Jesus was the flesh, which was made sin, the woman, going back to Eve that played the harlot and had to die, you follow me? Dies what? The first man, Adam, because God don't hold the woman in the transgression. Though the man wasn't in the transgression, yet the Bible says in the Old Testament, if the man says nay, it's not charged against the woman. If the man says yea, it's charged against the woman. So Jesus said, nay, I'll take it myself at Calvary, the first man, Adam. Is that right? There was Eve dying. Come on now. That was the harlot, the church. The Jews showed it. But then come the virgin, which is Christ. Is that right? Which is the second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. Are you following? Right now, differentiating between the Lord and the Christ, or rent veil. Here is the woman standing up there. And you say, give us an illustration. Will you give me a few minutes to give it to you? I'll prove it to you. Look at the life of Joseph. When they went down in the dungeon, how many know that was the life of Christ? I wish we could go into it. Maybe we'll get into a little of it tomorrow night. But how many know that when Joseph went into the house to take care of the business that had been appointed him by the captain of the guards, how many know that there was the wife of that man who was evil? And she laid hold on Joseph. And she said, lay with me. Lay with me. And the Bible said she vexed him from day to day. But he was righteous. And he said, I won't do it. I'm not going to sin against my Lord. And one day she laid hold on his garment. And in being just, he rent himself out of the garment, went out and left it in her hands. Wasn't that what Jesus done?
Hallelujah.
When the world laid hold on him and said, take up time with me. Commit spiritual hold him with me. And caught a hold of that old body to make it sin. Is that right? That Christ on the inside, that Joseph that went down the heart of the earth. It rent itself out of the veil of the flesh. Left it hanging in the hands of the woman, which was the wall. And went on to do God's work. They put him in the dungeon for it. But he rose up in the day of the famine and sat at the right hand of God. Today he's there today, and you got to sell out to him like you did Joseph to get what he's got. Is that right? So then, the woman, there she hung. Are you convinced it's the woman? The woman hanging there. What is it? Her feet is on the moon. John wrote about it. What is the moon? He said, and the church is founded upon the law and the prophets. That is the lesser light, which is the moon. Is that amen?
Amen.
The lesser light, which is the moon, which has to do with the Jewish church, the law and the prophets. Is that right?
Yes,
is that right? God's clock in the night. Is that right? 12 tribes in the night, 12 hours on the clock. God's daylight church, or clock, is the church. The 12 apostles, 12 hours in the day. Is that right?
Yes.
So then, here, when you see it, here the woman stands on the moon. You say, but where is the stars, Brother Pike? The Bible said a crown was in 12 apostles. I said the teaching of the 12 apostles was that. How do you know the old folks used to call people stars? Said every time a star falls, said that's somebody dying. Somebody said, but give us some Bible. We don't like the old folks' tales. All right, let's look at the Bible. See if it found itself on the Bible. And God said to Abraham, and I will make thy seed as the stars, innumerable as the sands by the seashore. Is that right? 12 stars on a head. What was it? It was Joseph's dream. He said he saw them all doing obeisance to him. He said the moon had to bow down to him. And he said the stars had to bow down to him. Is that right? Not only that, but he said that wasn't all. He said God, the great light, the sun, made himself subject to him. And said, O sun, thy throne is forever. Said, command thou me concerning the works of my hands. Did he say it to him? Being made heir of the glory. There he was clothed. The woman was clothed in the sun, which was the righteousness of God. Is that right? The sunlight of heaven. Is that right? The stars upon her head. Are you listening now? I said all this to make a point. Folks, I wish we had time to preach a message tonight. I wish we had time. But I'm going to close in trying to bring this out tonight. Here at this point, how many of you know that America is a woman and that 13 stars was the establishment of the early church? How many know Paul was added to that 12? Yeah, one of them fell out. How many know that? A lot to say about the 13 stars and the stripes. I wish we had time to talk about it. But how many of you know that she was the woman? How many of you know that she is now on the moon? The Bible said the woman was on the moon. Is that right? She has emphasized the footprints on the moon. Is that right? The woman on the moon. Is that right? And up here on the moon, isn't that where the light of the sun is? Isn't the moon what reflects the sun? Don't that denote that we've moved to higher ground? Don't that tell you something has happened? That we're not of this world, but we found a secret? And we've been chosen out of this world, and that we've got to preach a revelation that will make you think and believe while you're thinking that you might change dimensions into another world. Amen. By believing like Enoch did. If I can tell you that you're healed by stripes because it's foreknowledge and you believe it and come to pass, how much more can I tell you that you got salvation by foreknowledge, you believe it and come to pass? And I tell you that you've overcome death and you don't have to die. And you believe it and it come to pass. Where do you get that? Enoch did it. Elijah did it. So then the woman's on the moon. And the Bible said the red dragon was laying there. I say again. Red communistic China, the dragon nation, has also made it to the moon. And the man child, which is the antitype, just like America's an antitype, is the papacy of Rome. I said Antichrist would show himself this year, which brought Kissinger in and they called him the King of Nations. I said their presidency is over, that they'll keep on putting them in, but the last president's gone. I said capitalism is gone. And you know that they did not elect the president into the office of vice president or president. Right. It was a monarchical thing. They put him in. I said he'd be a king. Is that right? And then when they examined his name, they found out his name wasn't Ford, but his name is King. Amen. Not only that, but at the same time, Kissinger, the King of the Nations, come up. And I said the mark of the beast will set in at that time, because when the woman was on the moon, Revelation 12, 13, the beast come. And the man-child been caught up. If the beast is around the corner, which is the casting out of Satan, once the man-child goes up into heaven, the blood comes off the mercy seat, come back, Revelation 19, is that right? When it comes off, then that means Satan will personify himself in a man. Is that right? Yes. And from the time he personifies himself, it's called a beast. 7 years of Daniel's tribulation, in the middle of it, 3.5 years, flattery, in the middle of it, Satan's booted out of heaven. Then it's no more Antichrist, it's the beast. He personifies himself. No more flattery. I said at that time that there had to be a revelation that the church would receive, and they'd no longer be in the earth, they'd be in another dimension. Caught up. Or the other couldn't happen. So then, I said that the mark of the beast would come. Now listen, I'm closing. The mark of the beast would come. I said it will be through the computer system, and it will be through your social security number. All right, listen, I know that sounds foolish. I'm talking to a bunch of fools now. Jesus said the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Paul said we're fools in Christ. I'm talking to spiritual fools as the world calls them, not as I call them or God calls them. The wise ain't going to accept it. Through the simplicity, God has revealed it. But isn't it a true fact that already you turn on your lights, you got to have your social security number. Get your driver's license, got to have your social security number. In the army where they used to have a serial number, now it's your social security number. Security in the social realms, working right on up. I said that it would come through the computerized system. That there would be a giant computer that all of the others would be headed up into. Are you listening now? This concerns you now. I know this is not foreign. You understand what I'm saying now? I found out they've already got the giant computer. I said everything would go under a number. When you go to tell time on the clock, how do you do it? When you go to tell how much you owe concerning your light bill, how do you do it? When you go to buy a piece of meat down the store, when they go to weigh it out to you, how do they do it? When you go to drive your car, you got to have your license. What has it got on it? Got to have your tag. What has it got on it? Are you listening? When you go to church, what do you see hanging up on the board? You say, why? What are you trying to say? I mean that everything has got to come under a number system. That's the only way you can control the world by one man is through numerical order. You can't do it through colors or nothing else. It's got to be numerically ordered. Is that right? Already, they have got even the chewing gum with a computer number on it. How many of you know that's true? Buy a piece of chewing gum and just come out and see if that ain't true. Buy a box of cereal and see if it isn't on there. Now they've got a light system coming up that all they got to do is run it under it and the light will tell them exactly how much stock they got, inventory and everything. It will take it to that great brain, and that great brain can be under the powers of the Roman Catholic Church through a communistic policy. And he will know exactly how much food there is in every city in the world. And it can ship things any way it wants to, whether it's all food or whatever it is to keep the whole thing going. Are you following me? He'll be one great brain. You know his number 666 anyway. You know that. Vicarious Philadelphia. All right, now. Already, I said that this time, and it has to do with this meeting right here. Now listen. I said that it had to do with the coming of the tribulation period. I told that to somebody, and shortly after that, they said that the astrologers had discovered in the heavens that the stars, like the wise men knew Jesus was there, discovered that there is now coming up 7 years of the regime of Satan. Said the stars show it. Everything working together. Are you following me? The woman with the foot on the moon. The man child going up. Satan being booted out. Are you listening? The red dragon. The number coming in. At this time, right here. I said that everything would go down to show that all of the move was over concerning Brother Branham's spoken word. I'm talking about the types now. The word of God's never, never valueless. Also, concerning all that's ever been from the denominational move, it would show that when the natural went out, all the spiritual was gone. Now, that came to pass, didn't it? Now, let's see if this come to pass. I'm going to make another prediction. I've already made it, but I remind you. I said after that it went down, that God would bring forth a new move of God, which would not be a new message, but the revelation of the old message, the unveiling of what God had done. I said, and when the new comes, there'll have to be something in the natural that will show the spiritual prosperity just like it has in the past. And I said from Brother Hammond's meeting, after that it will have to do with Pentecost. And I said after that everything would start back up because it would be the beginning of the breaking of the new message. And there has to be a natural to show it. That Antichrist will make Christ to prosper in the natural to show that Christ is making the church to prosper in the spiritual. It'll happen. Watch and see. I've already heard some things since I made the prediction and since I told you people that it would happen. I've already heard some good tidings. Are you following me? But the reason that I believe that God has chosen Brother Hammond's church, there's a number of reasons. One is because this is an intellectual center that has to do with the garden over here. The fall of mankind. Oh, there's so much I could say about types and shadows. But Brother Hammond's people has been noted Jesus' name people down through the years and has been clean, upright people that have held up the standards of God that has been typical in Revelation as the Jewish people. Now you know, some of you don't know what I'm talking about and I haven't got time to explain it. But you that understand some of this teaching know that the Jesus name people positively in Revelation shows the Jews. How many of you know that? How many of you understand that by Revelation? It does. And we don't have time to go into it. But I said the cutting off of the Gentiles would be the going back to the Jews. And I said this would be the end of the Trinity Church. Is that right? The woman going into the wilderness? The end of the Trinity Church? I said it had to do with Brother David Terrell with all these places prepared out in the wilderness at this time. I said that whereas before the Jesus name people have been smothered out and haven't seemed to be able to get up above the Trinitarian move to have a revelation that the Lord forsook the Jews when they were His people. To go over to a Trinity people to get a bride. And that when He got it, He would turn back to the Jews, that the Gentiles would be cut off. And I said in the Jesus name people will have a great stir and a great revival. Is that right? After I made the statement that they would do it, even though the time was at hand for what we're doing now, it is a true fact, and you know that it's a true fact, that immediately somebody come and told me, said, Brother Pike, the Jesus name people has declared a worldwide conference or revival. Is that right? There's so much I'd like to say. But the Lord chose this because this is called Peter Street. And Peter was the one that had the keys to the kingdom. The opening of the door. This Brother Mitch from Indiana. Mitch, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The little foolish thing we spoke about the other day. Them chicks coming from Bethlehem. You know what I'm talking about. Oh my. You love the Lord. Stand with me, brethren. There's so much I'd like to say. But you've been so wonderful even to wait and listen this long. God bless you. God bless you is my prayer. I love you. Could I get a little more water? I'm going to close, but just before I do, I want you to lift your hands with me. Would you? I'm thankful for what little I could say here tonight. There is some great men among us. Far greater than I'll ever be. Mighty men of God. But saying what I've said tonight, having a little part in discussing the things that I've discussed with you, I said that to arouse you, to awake you, because as a snare it's coming on the world. Nobody's going to believe it's there. All of a sudden the saints are going to be gone. They're going to rise and take the kingdom. The world isn't going to know what's happening until it's too late. But you're not children of darkness. Light in the evening time. You're children of light. That day should not come upon you unaware. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, that we might have as Enoch that divine translation by faith into the marvelous kingdom of our God. God bless you. God love you. Let's just slip those hands up now.